They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Sue Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights.
WBR-FM Fairfax.
A service of Fairfax Public Access and Cox Communications.
94.5 Cable FM.
Cox Cable Channel 37.
Comcast Cable Channel 2427.
And broadcasted to the world in real audio at mcac.org.
WBR-FM Fairfax.
On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory common ownership development. It is broadcast live from WBR Fairfax, Virginia. Join us as we explore the world of common ownership development, the fastest growing form of residential development in America today. This housing concept includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes that are part of a mandatory homeowners association. Unfortunately, this type of housing is not as utopian as its advocates would have us believe. Living in a mandatory homeowners association means giving up part of the American dream. It means giving up constitutional rights and control over one's most valuable asset, one's home. Living in a mandatory homeowners association means leaving the American zone.
WBR Fairfax Radio, you're on the Commons. I'm Sue Bartholomew. And today we have a little different show. Today we're down in Florida and we're visiting with Jan and Karen Bergman. And Terry's here someplace as well. And I thought I'd just bring you a little conversation. What happens when some of us get together and on a social occasion, we just talk associations, right, Jan?
Oh, we're swapping war stories.
We're swapping war stories. You've had, a lot's been going on in Florida, and we've been sitting here talking for a while. And Karen, who's your angel, Karen, thank you so much for being such a gracious hostess and for inviting us into your home.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure.
And thank you for being so supportive of Jan, because without your support, I don't think Jan could do that, could you, Jan?
No, you always need support.
You always need support, and you always need that. But you put in a lot of hours, don't you, Jan?
Well, it's a lot of stuff coming up, and, especially this year, here in Florida, normally in summer, everything slows down, calms down, and gets quieter. Not this year. I mean, my inbox in the computer is full every day. My telephone is ringing off the hook during weekdays.
But everybody's so happy. But everybody's so happy, Jan.
While only in the brains of some CIA attorneys. I don't think in real life people are so happy, especially if you hear the real bad stories, money disappearing, associations more or less left broke by financial mismanagement, board presidents gambling the association dues away, you name it, you find it. Specifically, one attorney who is representing an association where the board president embezzled $650,000. It's proven, there's no argument about it. Bank statements, everything is very clear. Went to the FBI because this president used the association card to gamble online and have fun outside Florida.
Yeah, I saw that.
So she went to the FBI, called the FBI here in Florida, and just said, look here, this is a problem. The $650,000, we have the proof, it's all set. She used a credit card and went over state lines, so the FBI should be involved. And he said, sorry, this is not in our budget. We don't have time to deal with these kind of small issues, you may have realized in the meanwhile that Florida is the fraud capital of the United States, and in case your president embezzles more than $1 million, you may come back to us.
Huh? More than $1 million?
Yes. So, that's so if you embezzle $990,000...
How about if you do it in two lots? How about if you split it? $999,000 today and another $990,000?
He said below $1 million, they will not even deal with it.
That's outrageous, yeah.
It is.
That's absolutely outrageous.
Especially, we came up with it because just across the state line in Georgia, a federal court just convicted a lady who embezzled $19,000. So, actually peanuts compared to this. And she, the FBI in Georgia investigated it, and she was just last week convicted in federal court for embezzlement. So we thought, if the FBI in Georgia is interested in $19,000 embezzlement, the FBI in Florida should definitely be interested in $650,000 embezzlement. Why? No such luck. That's why they call Florida the fraud capital of the United States.
But we also have this pilot program. I realize it's a very small area, and it only encompasses Miami-Dade, but I think it's the first official recognition that I've seen anywhere in the country that it is a problem and that the police need to get in there and investigate. But as you know, we've been hearing about embezzlement from around the country. I mean, it's getting really big now, Jan. It's huge.
I think what a lot of people forgot to count in the problem is the hurricane problem here in Florida. Associations suddenly had huge insurance settlements. They had plenty of money in the bank. Money is, in these associations, is more or less unsupervised. There is no accountability.
There's no adult supervision.
I always compare association money with a cookie in a cookie jar without a lid. You know, and kids passing by, you know. Do you expect to find any more cookies after a while? No. You know, and that's the same with association dues.
You have to get Karen to do some more baking. She's an excellent baker.
Right. And she does real nice cookies.
She does really nice cookies, but you don't want the association. That's a good thing, you don't live in an association. They eat all Karen's cookies. But, Jan, I know that the insurance thing has been something that's a little bit different in Florida, but the embezzlement is across the country. And it's what's happening where you have no adult supervision. You've got all this money just sitting there. And nobody has any access. You ask for information, you're not allowed to have it. The managers are, the board members, if you don't have a management company, you've got the treasurer with unfettered access to all that money. It must be, it's obviously very
tempting.
I was going to say, it must be very, very tempting. You have all this money sitting there. You can do anything you want with it.
You know, don't forget. There are very good board members. But there is a whole bunch of people who really do it because they feel it gives them a social standing. A social standing they normally wouldn't have.
That's a good point.
You're
right.
Uneducated. They're unqualified to do the job, but they're in their profession, before they retired here to Florida, in the firm they work for, they wouldn't have even trusted them with a petty cash box. Here there's suddenly the board treasurer with a budget of $1.5 million. They don't even know how many zeros go into a million. but they're in charge. And not only that they embezzle, they waste money by stupidity. They give contractors contracts, prepay them $800,000 without anything being done, and don't even check if the guy they give that kind of money, if that guy has a license. We've seen it here so and so many times over and over again that they prepay people who are not even licensed. They couldn't even do the job. But they don't check it. Oh, it's not my money. Hey, and it's not, there's not enough. We write a letter, special assessment. You know, send us another $5,000. It's so easy.
When you talk about special assessments, years ago when I was on the board, I remember wanting to come up with some kind of a plan to make sure that we had enough money in the budget, for you know, that we were adequately funding the reserves. And I thought there was a rule of thumb. It was right after Inaki Harkin. Inaki had come in and Smart Money had written something down that, you know, there was a little bit of a rule of thumb there that, you know, if you expected so much, then so much, you ought to have so much. It was a quick and dirty. I called CAI and asked them. I couldn't find the article. I called CAI and asked them. I said, hey, do you happen to have a quick and dirty? How can people tell whether you've got adequate reserves? This was 20 years ago. Do you know what they told me? Don't worry about it. You don't need adequate reserves. Because if you need money, if there's a shortfall, all you have to do is just, you know, pass a special assessment. And the people have to pay it up.
And they lose their homes. See, this is what amazes me in this state. We have here fights over property insurance. You know, the homeowners insurance premiums went out of the roof after the hurricanes. We have property taxes which are growing faster than anybody can even count. People here have seen it within 3 years their property tax bills doubling. The market is dead here. And our legislators, who may or may not, depends from what side you see, are trying to find a solution, look at saving us $30 or $40 annually in insurance money, but they don't care about the $10,000 special assessment people are assessed in their homeowners associations.
Yeah,
it makes no sense.
Do you think we'll ever get this sorted? I mean, I think it's a bad idea. I think that you shouldn't have associations. I think they're really ridiculous. I understand. The ones we have are not going to go away, but I think it's a failed experiment. Do you think we're ever going to be smart enough at some point to say, yes, it is a failed experiment, we really need to scrap the whole concept?
Well, you know, I think as long as the citizens or the homeowners don't do anything serious and allow themselves to be fleeced by these people, I don't think we will see any kind of changes. Because the apathy in these associations is so big that more or less a handful or two handful of people can run the whole show and nobody does anything about it. You know, I always like the example of homeowners associations and exporting them. You know, there was this big conference by the CEI in Frankfurt, in Germany.
No, I didn't know.
And one of the guys from CEI made a real good presentation, and the people listening were legislators from different countries in Europe. And it was all very nice, and in the end, one German legislator was quoted, "This all sounds very nice, but don't forget, we had Adolf, we don't need more dictators in our country."
Wow.
Wouldn't that say it all?
When was this?
I think in 2002 or something like that.
Is this the one McKenzie went to?
I don't know.
I know Evan went to
school. I read it in a German newspaper, which is a serious newspaper, you know, not one of these Daily Stars or something like that. I could believe it. Because, see, in Europe, these kind of associations are against the law. This would be illegal in Germany to put a homeowners association up like we know them here in the United States.
You've said that in the past.
Right.
Do you have condominiums over there? How?
We have buildings that are built like condominiums, but we don't have them set them up like with an association and not-for-profit corporations and 200 pages of deed restrictions and other restrictions. See, part of my retirement money comes from renting out condos in Germany.
So you own condos in Germany?
Yes, and they were in our family since 1973. Mm-hmm. And we have never ever had one single lawsuit.
So do you how does it work? I know in some countries where you have multi-story, multi-level to the high-rise condominium, they don't call them condominiums, but people buy a flat and they basically work together and they each take care of their own apartments. And they'll come together and they say, well, we want to put in a new elevator, or we need to hire someone to fix the stairs or something. And they all get together and they decide yes, no, and they put it together. There's no hierarchy,
there's no president.
There's no formal setup. It's just...
It works totally different. More or less, let's use an example. My mom owns a summer condo at the beach in northern Germany. There are 94 units in the high rise. It's an 8-story. For Germany, it's a high rise. That building was built in 1971. They have a manager there. They have once a year an annual meeting there. Mm-hmm. The manager makes his report.
They do have a manager.
Yes, they have a manager here for taking care of all the problem. He's a paid manager.
Okay.
But when he wants to do maintenance or special things or, you know, whatever is necessary, he brings it to the annual meeting and the annual meeting approves it. But see, there are no such restrictions like you do here, rental restrictions. You would start that, even say that in Germany, the people would think they're your cuckoo. You know?
Well, I agree.
Or pet restrictions, you know? You own the condo, you're not allowed to have a cat. They would laugh you out of the room.
Well,
or you put something on your door for Christmas, and you would get a letter from the condo, you get fined if you don't take it off. This is the problem. They still know freedom of property.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in Germany you can still use your property as you seem fit, as long as it's okay with the laws. Mm-hmm. But with the laws of the state or the country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and not with the laws of some self-appointed president who figures he's the king of the road.
So basically it's the members who come together and make the decisions, obviously, right?
Right.
I mean, there's no special assessments. Do you have...
There can be special assessments. And for example, in that condominium, they have a special assessment. After 30 years on a salty beach, you know, with the salt in the air,
mm-hmm.
The exterior was worn down.
Needed some repair.
They decided to do a real total overhaul. And they needed, I think, a special assessment in American dollars was about $12,000.
What happens if you don't pay it or if you don't have it?
To be honest, I've never heard that argument.
Oh, really?
No. See, don't forget one thing. The whole system in Europe works totally different, or minimum worked totally different still 10 years ago. See, here people buy houses with $1,000 down, with $10,000 down, with more or less no money of their own.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and here the banks are willing to finance 80-90% of mm-hmm. the purchase price. In Germany, you will get no bank, no German bank, who would even consider giving you a mortgage if you're not having minimum 50% of the purchase price cash on the table.
So you've actually got to have some of your own money down there.
Right. So people only buy a place if they really have the money to do so. See, here you have many people who really don't necessarily have the money, and if they get hit with a special assessment, or suddenly, you know, monthly dues being raised by 100%, as we have seen in Florida, due to the insurance premiums, it hits people hard. You know, I remember the time in 2005, there was a condo bill pending in the legislature which would have made it mandatory to have reserve funds, which in my opinion...
They can't do that.
...is a must.
You think they can't?
I think that every condominium should have a reserve fund.
I agree with you. And some people have convinced me, and with all the embezzlement stories we're seeing now, some people have convinced me that it's actually having all that money sitting around with no oversight, no adult supervision, that makes it so tempting. And that's where you get the $1 million that are being pilfered. Because
there are ways to protect these reserve funds. And especially, see, don't forget one thing. The reason why you see so much embezzlement and so much mismanagement and so much kickbacks is because there is no punishment for it. That's a good point. If I can embezzle $500,000 without even have to fear that I would go to jail or something like that, what does it take not to take it? You know, it's there for the taking. Because, see, it's the same with speeding. You know, if it says 70 miles an hour, if you know there could be no police guy giving you a speeding ticket, everybody would chase around with 100 miles an hour. Right? There's no punishment.
Well, some people drive 12 miles an hour, but that's...
Okay, but they pay the price if they get caught.
Yeah, no, 12, I said, as opposed to 70.
Yeah, okay, but I think...
You got some real pokey drivers out there.
Right, but see, the problem is, we are all humans. And already as a kid, you always try to test how much you can get away with. You know, you test your parents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how much, you know, if dad says, hey, you'll be back home by 10 o'clock tonight.
You better be home.
You better be home, but as a kid, you know, the first time on there, if I'm back home at 11, it's okay. If dad then says, oh yeah, but next time you come again at 10 o'clock and nothing happens, next time you come again at 11 o'clock, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if dad grounds you for 2 weeks...
So you're saying there are no consequences.
Yeah. If there are no consequences, you take the money. If it's there for the taking.
Because
in Allendale Beach, the guy was 82 years old. You know,
yeah, that's,
he barely ever had a speeding ticket.
Yeah, everybody loved him. He was he was so helpful and so kind.
Would you expect him? You know, he went through all his life without getting into any kind of problems. Now he suddenly embezzled that kind of money. Why? Because it was tempting, it was there for the taking. And normally nothing happened. You know, we had plenty of examples before here where board members embezzled money and nothing ever happened to them.
There was a story, if you remember, Jan, some years ago when Texas had the hearings, they were doing the hearings. I remember someone from the AG's office went in and was talking about how the AG will help in a pinch, and the legislators wanted to know if he had an example of that. And he said, yes. He said, we had this guy who had called in, and he'd been having problems with his association. He said they were paying the assessments, and, you know, the grass wasn't being cut. The pool was green and slimy. The tennis court was full of weeds and cracks. And every time he went to the president or the board and said, why is nothing being done? They said, oh, we don't have money. But he said, everybody's paying their assessment. So it wasn't a point of not having the money in. So the homeowner wanted to see the books and records, was told, we don't have them, we've lost them. So the attorney the guy from the attorney general's office or state attorney's office, I don't remember, went in and requested the books and records, the bank records, and was given the same thing, we've lost them. Well, he was able to go to the bank and subpoena the canceled checks, and what he found was the board members had been using the assessment money to pay, write themselves checks to cover their own business ventures. What really was frustrating was the fact that there was no jail time. They got a slap on the wrist and were told, you've got to return some of the money. That was it.
What? We had this one case where more or less the judge in the end said, okay, if you pay it back in 20 years, I let you go out on probation. That lady was never able to repay a dime. She had spent it all. There was no chance for them to recover the money, and more or less he let her go. I mean, it was only $90,000. Only. In the moment we're showing around here's $1 million embezzlements in Florida, and we expect two more arrests in the near future for embezzlements which go far beyond $1 million.
These are in the pipeline, right?
Yeah. There are quite a lot of investigations running, but white collar crime takes a long time to investigate. It has to be done very thoroughly, and to be very honest, police doesn't have the resources to put a few people on the case. You know, one does it on the side beside dealing with other cases on top of it. So that's why it takes a little longer. See, I got involved when I found out that our developer is using association dues for all kinds of fancy things which helped his business but not the association. In short, he lied to us, he told us stories, he gave us fancy brochures what we would get, and we didn't get it. So I ended up finally, after pushing here and pushing there, in the office of the Attorney General in Tallahassee. And I showed what I had, my proof, and I said, this is a felony third degree, according to Florida statutes. So I want you guys to do something about it. Well, believe it or not, the argument from the guy in the office was, Sorry, this is not budgeted. These cases are not being prosecuted because we don't have the money. I said, look, I said, now this is kind of weird. You know, if you get a developer and you get all the proof on a silver platter to convict him, there's really not a lot of cost for you guys. I said, then you tell the judge to fine him, on top of the other punishment, $500,000. I said, for a developer, that's peanuts.
Yeah, I was going to say, the average still doesn't
have that. Okay, now you take these $500,000, put it in the budget, and go after the next five developers. I said, you don't need a budget for taxes or whatever, you have the money. I said, and so on. I said, you don't need money. You make enough money from convicting these people. These people are only too happy to give you $500 or $1 million in fines if they get away with 1 year in jail only instead of 10. You know, anyway, no deal.
No deal.
And that is why these people can get away more or less with, I don't want to say murder, but in short, with real serious crime. You know, I consider it serious crime if you embezzle $1 million.
I agree with you. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. And we're back. We're talking to, go ahead, Jan, have your Coke, have a sip. You can have a drink. No, we just needed to put in a little pause there so I know what you're doing. Just to let you guys know, I don't know what happened to everybody else. Karen kind of disappeared. I think probably the recorder scared her a little bit. And Terry's doing something else, but if he comes out, we'll get some comments from him as well. But we're sitting down here with Jan in Florida, and we're on our way back. And here comes Terry. And Terry Bartholomew has been the guy who's been working on my new website. Terry, thank you very much for doing that.
You're welcome, darling. It was my pleasure.
I haven't been called darling on the show before. But there's always a first, right?
There has to be a first.
There has to be a first. There's always a first and a second. I don't know, Jan. There's I mean, you make a very valid point that there's no consequences involved for anybody who embezzles, and there's no real oversight. I mean, the government mandates these associations, but then takes a hands-off approach to the whole thing. Ah, Karen's back. No, she's shaking her head. I thought this would be kind of more of an informal chit-chat type of arrangement where we just chit-chat and bring it all to
them. Nobody wants to chit-chat.
Nobody wants to chit-chat. That's too bad. You get a lot of calls. You get fed up with the calls, right, Karen?
Yeah.
Is there a lot of it?
Oh, yes.
You get a lot of calls from people?
Yeah.
Problems Jan does.
When the phone rings, it's always for Jan.
In our house, Terry says it's always for me.
Yeah, but see, the telephone still rings at 10 o'clock, and that gets sometimes pretty annoying.
You know,
as much as I like to help, you know, people should sometimes realize that there are times to call and times not to call anymore.
No, I know.
You know, and I understand, you know, they're coming back from their board meeting totally upset, disgusted with what the board decided, and here comes the call. Can they do that? They told us if we don't pay a special assessment of $5,000 within 3 weeks, they'll lean on our house and foreclose on it. Can they do that? Well, at 10 o'clock, nothing can be done anyway in the first place anymore. And second, yes, they can, because there's nobody to stop them.
I get, you get probably most of your calls from Florida.
Yes.
Because I have more of a national outlook. I get calls from all over the country. And it's really difficult because what I have, I mean, I don't know the laws from 50 states. And people come up with, yes, can they do that? Here's what they've done. Is it against the law? Well, I don't know if it's against the law. Shouldn't there be some kind of clearinghouse, maybe, for homeowners to think? Because obviously, I mean, you can give them the Florida laws, I can give them Virginia laws, people can give them California, Arizona, but we really don't. I mean, I hear from Michigan, I hear from Illinois, I hear from, you know, different states where you really don't have an organization, a grassroots organization, and you get people who are having the same problems. I mean, the problems seem to be universal, it's just that there's no clearinghouse for them.
Which is correct, but you have to realize it is even dangerous if you're trying to help somebody from another state. Because what may be right here in Florida may be totally wrong in Georgia.
That's absolutely
and
right.
And we had a case, I think 2-3 years ago, where a guy from Georgia, who didn't call, he just looked up cases on the website.
Mm-hmm.
And he read our statutes.
Mm-hmm.
So he raised hell at his board meeting, more or less claiming these are the statutes and you can't do this. And the people told him, more or less, he's a moron, doesn't know what he's talking about. Actually, they were right.
Yeah.
But people don't realize that these are state laws. And in this state, it's totally different than in the next.
Right.
But it, especially here in Florida, you see it very often, and there are problems coming along with it. Because, see, here in Florida, we get many retirees. They move from New Jersey, from Boston, from Chicago, from New York, you name it, that's where they come from.
Mm-hmm.
In these states, they have totally different laws.
Mm-hmm.
So here they come, and they live in a condominium in Chicago. I just had that a few days ago. For 40 years, all my life, I lived there, and I never experienced something like this. Absolutely disgusting. And I moved here in January, and you wouldn't believe what happened to me. And how can they do that? Well, the problem is, we have different laws here. More or less, we have laws here nobody cares about, where everybody can violate the existing laws without any kind of punishment.
Penalty, yeah, right.
And, you know, we see condominiums getting 27 warning letters in 1 year, so who takes them serious? They're just plain a waste of paper.
Yeah.
And they even laugh about it. Oh, we got another warning letter. Isn't that fun? You know, they joke at board meetings. They, you know, oh, here was the DBPR again. You know, they didn't like what they were doing. Oh, okay. And they file it in their big filing cabinet.
And they get rid of it, huh?
Yeah, why? Because they don't care. Because
yeah.
Nothing will happen. They know exactly, you know, that's the same, you know, was a joke. You know, unpaid bills, this is final notice. Oh, if it's final notice, I'll never hear from him again, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was
yeah.
a joke. But that's about how they treat these warning letters and
yeah.
so on. You know, that's the same, then they fine the associations. What, the board members laugh about it because the fine is paid
by the homeowner
from the association dues.
So, there's no personal accountability.
You know, we had this one story from Miami. 5 board members shared a reserve fund of $350,000. They wrote each other checks for $70,000, right? The people got on there and set up a board, they recalled the board said, well, we're not going. What do you want to do? We're the sitting board, you can do whatever you want.
We're not leaving, yeah.
So, anyway, these these condo owners complained to the DVPR. The DVPR finally investigated, and because the violations were that strong, they finally set up fines. $55,000. Guess what?
Came out of the assembly.
The owners who complained about all the misdeeds of their board got a letter. They all have to pay $2,000 each
for a special assessment
to pay the fine. I mean, with the help of some legislators, they were in the end able to remove the fine so that they didn't have to pay for it. But I mean, what a mess.
It is a mess. But I was talking about, you know, quite often you'll get people who call up and they're just so totally far into all of this. They have no idea, they have no clue. And you can always tell them, look, you know, you've got governing documents, you want to check and see the, you know, what your governing documents say, you want to check the laws in your state, you want to see this, that, and the other. Just because the board does something and just because the board says something does not mean, A, that they have the authority to do it, B, that they know what they're doing, because frankly, even the attorneys don't bother reading the governing documents. I mean, they sit there, oh yeah, you can do this, yeah, you can do that, and then you go, oh, show me where, you know, buddy-o, and oh, well, yeah, I guess you can't. But there has to be, I mean, people get into this. You've got, what, 60 million Americans who live in associations. They get involved in these things, and when something happens, they have no idea where to look, where to go, who to talk to, what to do about it. They're just kind of stuck.
And I think that is the way the industry wants it.
Oh yeah, the industry wants it that way.
See, don't forget one thing. We have here, and I have to get back to Florida in this case, we have here statutes. And I mean pages
mm-hmm.
covering and regulating condos, homeowners mm-hmm. associations and everything. But we really have nobody who really enforces it. So you have the attorneys who are making money out of it
mm-hmm.
and who don't care about right or wrong or what the statutes say. You know, I often get the feeling that attorneys ask the board what kind of interpretation you want to hear from us. And that is what they get.
If you hear Frank and me on the show, we quite often will quote one of the attorneys from our association. We actually found a document, a letter, an opinion letter from the attorney to the association saying, go ahead and do what you want to do, even though you're not on legal, concrete legal foundation, because most homeowners will not avail themselves of their rights. You can make a decision based on the economics of the litigation. In other words, legally, you're in the sinkhole. But go ahead and do it, because most homeowners don't know what their rights are. But should someone say, hey, wait a minute, you don't have that authority and, you know, you're usurping some of our rights, then you decide, gee whiz, how much is it going to cost to go to court and defend this position? And you make your decision whether you want to pursue it or drop it at that point. That's the kind of information that a lot of the homeowners associations are getting.
Well, it goes even further. You get attorneys who tell the board, oh, it's not correct what you're doing, but don't worry.
That's what we're saying.
Because the people don't have the money to take you to court.
That's exactly what I'm talking about
yeah.
right here. Yeah. Yeah. And so the boards will go ahead and do it, even though yeah. legally they can't do it. And it's just, you know, the homeowners are screwed.
Right. You can violate the law, because nothing will happen.
Right.
And that is why you have so many problems.
Because that's a big problem.
They can just get away with it.
That is a huge problem.
That's, I think, the biggest problem. See, in my opinion, two things would help. One is education. And not only education of the board members, but I think, as well, the owners should have a basic knowledge of what they're getting into when they live in an association. Because some of them just believe everything they're being told.
Some of them will not listen, Jan. I've told them, and they've said, you know, the people who've had these problems, they must have done something to deserve it. Or, no, these things just don't happen. Or, you don't understand because, you see, we don't have those kinds of problems, and I've lived in an association, and we never had that. So there's something wrong with this particular case. They don't understand that it's not the association, it's the power that associations have.
That's correct, but see, we have here in Florida the DVPR contracts to the CAI for $500,000 in education.
That's, a bad one. That's a joke.
It's ridiculous.
It's an absolute and utter joke.
Because they charge $100 for each participant. That means no more than $5,000 board members can only be educated, which is, not even 1% of who needs to be educated. Then they always invite the same people because it is invitation only. Because normally most of the folks don't even know there is an education course. They pick their people. They invite the board members who they know
they can manipulate.
CAI folks who like what the CAI does, who like the power, who want to stay in power. And their courses is how to enforce things, how to create lawsuits. No, the education should be how to avoid lawsuits, how to live happily next to each other.
But yeah, that's where CAI gets most of its money, because
right.
It's the lawyers who do this, who manage to come up with the funding for their little Zogby polls, so they can say, hey, we just conducted a Zogby poll, and we talked to, 95% or whatever of the people we talked to are happy, happy, happy. And this is how they fund it. And it's like, it's like a vicious cycle. It's, the homeowner is the one that constantly takes it and is getting chewed on.
But what does it tell you? If the government agencies here in Florida, or some of them, tell homeowners when they call them for advice, sorry, we can't tell you, but you call the guys from Cyber Citizens, they will tell you and help you out.
Thank God for Cyber Citizens, eh?
Yeah.
Sorry, Karen, your phone's going to ring.
Yeah.
It's going to ring some more because other side's sending it to you.
I get 100 emails.
Yeah. Because the other side sends them to you.
A homeowner, simple question. We wanted to see the financial records. Our attorney, our board president said, the attorney said, we don't have to show it to you. Is that true? There is nowhere, not even the simple web page or whatever, from the government, which makes a lot of money out of homeowners associations, because it is double taxation.
Absolutely.
There's not even a place where this simple question could be looked at.
You're right.
Then we have a statute saying if the association doesn't show the homeowner on request the documents as requested, there's a $500 penalty. Okay, the homeowner goes to court, up there sits a judge who wants to be re-elected and who doesn't want to get really in a tiff with this homeowners association, who says, oh, you're right, but I want to solve this amicably. So, you're right and you should get the record, but I don't give you the $500 penalty.
Go and settle this. I don't want to deal with it, basically.
Yeah. The legislators even create punishment, and then here comes the judge in the court and doesn't want to deal with it.
Doesn't want to deal with it.
We have in Broward County a case where a condo owner won an appeals court, but the circuit court judges don't want to deal with it. There are 6 judges, they all recused themselves over time because they claimed they had some kind of conflict of interest. because the board president of the condo, which did everything wrong in the book, including spending reserve funds on paying back employer cost legal bills, is a well-known lobbyist who has his fingers all over, so the judges don't want to rule against her. You know, that's how justice in these associations works.
It's a scam. Thank you so much for thank you for having us here. It's been kind of fun. Enjoyed doing the show from Jan and Karen Bergman's Florida room here, poolside. It's absolutely gorgeous, and we'll have to do this again sometimes. Thanks to everyone for joining us. Thanks to all of you for joining us on the Commons today. If you'd like to hear the show again, or if you missed the past show and would like to catch it, please check us out. Our website is www.onthecommons.us. The archives are at www.onthecommons.net. And we have a wiki. Help us build a wiki. And that's at www.onthecommons.info. Onthecommons.com is still available. It will just point you to our homepage, which is onthecommons.us. If you'd like to send us an email, my email address now is onthecommons@cox.net. We'd love to hear from you. You also have the ability to leave your comments right on the website where it says write a comment. Just click on that and send us your feedback. We'd love to hear from you. But above all, be sure to come back and join us next Saturday, because we're always here. On the Commons was produced by OTC Multimedia Productions. See you all next week. Bye.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to justice for HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.